Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shai Gimel, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. We spoke in the last class how the power of witchcraft has a power to actually change people who know witchcraft, which I don't think there's anyone nowadays who knows witchcraft, but those who know witchcraft, it's because they call on certain names, certain holy names from heavenly names, which are higher than the heavenly forces that are pointed over nature, and that's how they can actually change nature, so to speak. They can actually warp nature. They can make nature do things that nature wouldn't normally do because they come from a higher place, and therefore they're able to take control of nature and to make unnatural, supernatural happenings. But then we mentioned that there's a still higher force, and that's Hashem himself. So therefore, that's why the rabbis were never scared of these witches, because since they align themselves with the name of Hashem, Havaya, Yudke Vovke, which was a higher source, so that would nullify all witchcraft. All witchcraft would become nullified the minute that the name of Hashem is called. And that's what we spoke about last time, that Bilam was able to make himself and the kings of Midian fly, until I think it was Pinchas showed him the tzitz. The tzitz was the forehead plate that the Kohen Gadol wore, which had the name of Hashem on it. Kodesh Lashem. It had printed on the forehead plate. It was a solid gold forehead plate. It had that holy to Hashem, and it had the name of Hashem written on it. And he shined that tzitzit, and they fell to the ground. And that's because that nullifies witchcraft. So that's the power of calling on Hashem. And then we said an amazing idea last time, which is a very useful thing to know, that when a person is in trouble, and we mentioned actual stories like the Briskarov during the time of the Nazis, that just by focusing on that Ein Oid Milvada, there is nothing besides Hashem, that Hashem is everything, right? Which we said is the name Yudke Vovke, is that Hashem is everything, and there's nothing besides Him. He fills the whole of reality, and in fact, the whole of reality is, in a sense, it's just an illusion. From Hashem's point of view, the whole reality, in a sense, doesn't exist. It's just like a movie type thing. It's not real. So therefore, if one aligns himself with the name of Hashem, that there is nothing besides Him, so then that is a way of saving himself from all types of danger. And we mentioned stories that, like, the Rav became almost invisible, like the Nazis almost, they just didn't see him, they just looked past him. And that's how he escaped with his life, they just didn't notice him. So that's this concept of aligning yourself, is that there is nothing else besides Him, and therefore, once you align yourself with Hashem, then all the laws of nature also are suspended. And that was the story we ended off also last time with Hanina ben Doisa, when his daughter by accident lit. She put vinegar in the lamp instead of oil in the lamp, but she went and lit it, and then it was already Shabbos. And she said, "Oh, yeah, Abba, I put vinegar in the lamp instead of oil." And so he said, "No, the one who said that oil should burn can say that vinegar should burn. Because when it comes to the realm of Hashem, there are no rules for Hashem. Hashem doesn't have to make it that dafka oil burns and vinegar doesn't burn. It could be that there's a light even without any vinegar at all. Without any vinegar and without any oil. Hashem can do what He wants. He's totally in control of the world. So if one aligns himself with Hashem, that overcomes even laws of nature." Which was Hanina ben Doisa's power, was he able to focus on the power of Hashem. Then we started chapter 13, which we're doing now. And we mentioned that the forefathers, they're called the forefathers because they had their special strength was that they nullified themselves to Hashem. And that's why they're called the divine chariot. That they totally aligned themselves with the will of Hashem. They lived their lives just like Hashem would want them to live their lives. And there was no self-interest. It was totally, purely dedicated to doing the will of Hashem. And therefore they're called the divine chariot. But, the level of Moshe Rabbein was still higher. So the level of the fathers was that they knew Hashem as Elohim. Elohim is the master of all forces, which is in terms of our perspective. The way we look at the world is we see all different forces in the world, and then we say that Elohim, Hashem, is the master of all forces. So there are many forces. We see all these many forces. We see forces of gravity, forces of evil, forces of goodness, all sorts of forces in the world, all sorts of powers in the world. Now this person has a certain power, this person has a certain power. So there are all sorts of forces in the world, and we say that Hashem is the master of all forces, and that's the name Elohim. Bala Kriches Kulam. The name Elohim means He's the master of all forces. But all that's from our perspective. There's another perspective, which is from Hashem's perspective, and that is, in terms of Hashem's perspective, there's nothing. There's nothing exists besides Him. That's the name Hashem. So that's what we said was the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the forefathers. The forefathers got to the name Elohim. Moshe Rabbeinu got to the name Havaya. Hashem told him, we'll see it in Parshas Va'era, I told you, says Hashem to Moshe, the name Hashem, which is the highest name of all. That's much higher. And that is that you don't even recognize forces anymore. The forces cease to exist because it's all the will of Hashem. And this is basically where a lot of our personal work, it becomes important. Because in terms of our personal work, we have to see that even though we recognize forces, right, there are people we're scared of, people maybe dangerous, violent people who might hurt us, or Arabs, we're scared of Arabs might attack us, they might throw bombs at us, whatever. So even though we see all of these forces, when we're at the higher level, then we at that high level which we're supposed to strive for, then there are no forces. There are no forces. We're supposed to see it's all the hand of Hashem. And if we do receive punishment, that's because Hashem wanted to punish us. It's not that the Arabs can hurt us or they cannot hurt us or harm us. They can't do anything to us. They are like a stick in the hand of Hashem. That's all they are. So when we please Hashem, then the Arabs can't hurt us at all. And when we're not pleasing Hashem, and He's angry with us, and He uses them as a stick to beat us. So therefore, the analogy is that when the master hits the dog with a stick, and afterwards he puts down the stick so the dog goes and bites the stick. So you say, you're a foolish dog. Don't you realize that the stick didn't hurt you? The stick was just what the master was holding in order to hit you. The stick is not your enemy. But the dog's angry with the stick, so he goes and bites up the stick. He doesn't realize his master's got millions of sticks. You know, you're going to go, there's a whole forest full of sticks. You know, you eat up that stick, I'll just bring you another stick and I'll beat you again if you need to be beaten. So therefore, to attack the stick is the same thing, is a foolishness. That's what we said about the dog. So for us to feel hatred towards Arabs, for instance, they're just a stick in the hand of Hashem. And the minute we start doing the will of Hashem, the Arabs will become little lambs. And they'll just come and polish our floors and polish our shoes and brush our teeth for us. Okay, that's all. You know, they'll become totally harmless. It's only a stick in the name or in the hand of Hashem. So therefore, that's this higher type of revelation where we see that all these negative forces are really in the hands of Hashem. So that's our service. We also have to see this. When a person sometimes says, "Oh, yeah, I got sick, and therefore, you know, you're getting sick is just a stick in the hand of Hashem. Oh, yeah, I have no panasa. The fact that you don't have panasa is a stick in the hand of Hashem. Hashem has withdrawn your panasa from you because he wants to wake you up somehow. Maybe there's something you're not doing that you should be doing. So therefore, it's a stick in the hand of Hashem. So that's part of our personal service, to always see that it's only Hashem, only one who really runs our lives, only one who's really guiding our lives, only one who directs our lives and interacts with us is Hashem. So this is a service. Now, in terms of the fathers, they got to the level of Elohim, which is that Hashem is the master of all forces. But Moshe Rabbeinu went into a whole different realm where there are no forces. There are no forces. There's only Hashem. And that's the name Yudke Vavke. We're starting here the third paragraph of this chapter. Va'inyan hu, etzem ha'chiluk sh'nizvay l'malem ben Hashem Elohim l'shem Havaya Baruch Hu. And the idea is this actual distinction which we explained before about the difference between the name Elohim and the name Yudke Vavke. Ki alaroiv be'inyan ha'sogas ha'avois, because in general, most times, when it speaks about the way the fathers, the forefathers, the patriarchs knew Hashem, Matzino Nema Hashem Elohim. You find by Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, throughout, if you look through the Chumash, you'll see mostly the name that appears by the forefathers is the name Elohim. Elohim Asher Yisalchu Avoisa Lefonov. That's a verse. It says Elohim, who our fathers walked before him. They walked before him to do his will. Elohim Haroe Oisi, Elohim, who was shepherding me. That's another verse. He's just bringing a few examples. And similarly, when we daven, we call Hashem, we call him the God of Avram, but we use the name Elohim, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, which is the name Elohim. That's the name we normally associate, mostly we associate with the forefathers. When we spoke about the holiness of their level, they got to the level where they saw Hashem as being Elohim, the master of all forces. They ignored all forces in the world, but rather they attributed all forces to Hashem. All forces in the world, they said, are Hashem, like we explained before. Omnam, however, the level of their prophecy, they were all prophets. Avram was a prophet, Hashem spoke to Avram, Yitzhak was a prophet, Yaakov was a prophet, Hashem spoke to them all. However, their level of prophecy was not with a nullification of all forces. You know, the forces didn't cease to exist. There are forces in the world. There are forces of evil. There are forces of good. There are forces of blessing, etc. So they saw forces. They saw the forces, but they saw that Hashem is the master of the forces. It's like the dog who sees the master and he sees the stick in the hand of the master. So he sees the stick. So their level was they saw the forces, just that they attributed the forces to Hashem. But not that the forces ceased to exist. And that's what Hashem says to Moshe. I appear to Avram, Bekel Shokai, with the names Kel Shokai. The names Kael and name Shakai is also names that are similar type of names like the name Elohim. In other words, also types of forces. It's also to do with the forces that run the world. Which is to say that I'm the master of all forces. That they recognize forces, but they're to say that I'm the master of all forces. However, if I want at any time, I, Hashem, am able to hijack the forces of the world. I can suspend the forces of the world. I can make the force of the world powerless. So therefore, for instance, Hashem could make the sun stand still in the middle of the sky, like we have stories like that. The sun stops moving, that's it. Hashem says to the sun, stop moving, and that's it. It's stuck in the middle of the sky for a couple of hours. So therefore Hashem is there are forces, but he can override the forces. Vizel Kael Shakai, these are the names Kael Shakai, that he controls the forces. Shmi Hashem. But what Hashem said to Moshe, that my name is Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, right, that Leinadati Lahim, that name I never made known to them, Asogos Nevuasim, in terms of their prophecy. In other words, we have the prophecy of the forefathers, and we have the prophecy of Moshe. The prophecy of the forefathers is mostly, if you look through most of the Chumash, you'll see the name Elohim, which is there understood that he's the master of all forces. Which means they saw forces, they saw separate forces, but they said Hashem is the master of forces and he can overrule the forces. He can freeze the forces that they weren't with. Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was a prophecy where it was Hashem. It's from Hashem's point of view, where there are no other forces. That Hashem is the master of all, and nothing exists beside Him. Ein oid milvado. So that's the difference. That was Moshe's prophecy was that Hashem was speaking to him as the name Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is much, much, much higher level. Much higher level. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom Ha'es Hasogas Nevuasa Beinyan Bechinas Hashem Ha'etsa Miyuchad Havaya Bolchu. However, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, like we said, that his actual grasp of Hashem was in terms of the name, the actual name, the essential name of Hashem, which is the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. And therefore there was no other force interrupting. There were no barriers between Moshe Rabbeinu and the light that was pouring in through him. I think he saw directly. He saw it exactly as it was. There was nothing in between. And similarly, with all the miracles that were performed through him, so all people who saw the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu made, they saw that all the forces of nature were all suspended completely, like they ceased to exist. All other forces ceased to exist. In other words, in Moshe Rabbeinu's presence, the Jewish people realized that there is nothing besides of Hashem. There's nothing besides of Hashem. They saw the absolute power of Hashem, that nothing exists that can somehow... Hashem doesn't have to manipulate anything, because everything just ceases to exist in the presence of Hashem. Literally, that there's nothing besides Hashem. So therefore, total control. As the verse says... It's a pasuk in Dvarim that I have started to show you. I've made it known to you. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, ein oid milvado. There's nothing besides Him. Hu inyan of perish Hashem miyuchad havaya bochu. And that's the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is, as we said before, that's the highest names of all, and that's from sort of Hashem's perspective, where nothing exists in the world besides Him, and He fills the whole of reality. So that's the highest force. Okay, what we said that when Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see clearly. So that's when the sages described it, they said it was like Baspaklari Hami'ira. And they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, they said it was looking through clear glass. Imagine if you have a glass door, someone knocks at the door and you go to the door, you can see right through the glass, you can see exactly who it is. But if you have frosted glass, you have like a glass that's not clear, then you don't see who it is. You just see a funny shadow on the other side. You see like a pink blob on the other side of the door, because it's not clear glass. So that was the type of... That was the time for prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, where there was total clarity, there was nothing. It was like there was nothing. Clear glass is like nothing, like fresh air. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's level. V'zer shekosov, and this is what the verse says, V'idav Elokim el Moshe v'yom elav ani Hashem. And that's what it says. Elokim said to Moshe, I am Hashem. Hodiyu etzem b'chinas ha-sogos nevuoso. He informed him the type of prophecy that he's going to get. Shegam Hashem Elokim etzlo yakol b'chinas ha-Hashem. Havaya. That even the name Elokim, that for you, Moshe Rabbeinu, even the name Elokim, right? The pasuk there says, Elokim said to Moshe, I am Hashem, I am Yudke Vovke. So therefore, even the name of Elokim in terms of Moshe was also like the name Hashem, Yudke Vovke. Inin akosav ki Hashem hu Elokim, ein oid milvadu. Like the verse that says that Hashem, He is the Elokim. Hashem is the master of all forces. There is no one else. There's only Hashem. Hashem is whatever you understand to be master of all forces. That is Hashem, which is a higher name. And there's nothing besides Him. U'me'az ve'elach lo nizka etzlo elav yidav Hashem v'yoyim Hashem. And thereafter, once you had that first statement, that first prophecy, that first statement that Hashem spoke to Hashem, that Hashem spoke to Moshe, and he said, Shmi Hashem, lo inodati lehem. After that introductory verse, thereafter, wherever Hashem speaks to Moshe, you always have the name Hashem. You always have the name Yudke Vovke. You never have the name Elohim. So for Moshe, we always have the name Hashem, and that's because of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the highest level of all. And then, like we said before, that never was there a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one who reached that level of prophecy. And that's what the verses he brings here. Yidav Hashem, Yoyim Hashem, Vizehu, Veloikom Novi. And there never was another prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one who ever reached such a prophecy like Moshe Hashem, Yodo Havai Aponim Alponim, that he knew Hashem face to face. His relationship with Hashem was like speaking to a person. You speak to him directly, face to face. That's how he could speak to Hashem. Ulegabe Avan, Lois Chazia Eleb Minalaim. However, when it comes to the forefathers, they saw Hashem in shoes. That's the expression from the Zohar. They saw Hashem wearing shoes. So that's a bit of a strange expression, right? They saw Hashem wearing shoes. In other words, they saw that there's something in between. They saw sort of, right? For instance, let's say someone kicks a dog, right? Man kicks a dog. So he says, oh, that boot kicked the dog. You don't say the naked foot kicked the dog. You say the boot kicked the dog. That's what you perceive. You perceive the boots. Right? You think of Nazi soldiers, so you think of the boots, you know, the boots trampling all over the place. So therefore, so to speak, they saw Hashem as if he's clothed in a boot. Now they saw him hidden, some sort of a covering. It wasn't direct vision. It was some sort of a covering, like they saw Hashem behind a boot, behind some sort of a garment. But for Moshe's vision, that was without any cover at all. And that's the secret behind where Hashem says that I appear to Avram. So the idea there is I appear to Avram with wearing a boot. And that's with some sort of a garment, with some sort of a... But Hashem didn't. Avram didn't see Hashem as directly as Moshe was able to see. Hugam kein maimam zal b'soif perik yusra adam, and this also fits another teaching of the sages that we have in the Gemara in Chulin. Godel shenema b'Moshe v'Aaron yoisim imash shenema b'Avram. Says there in the Gemara that it's greater what it says about Moshe and Aaron than what it says about Avram. The ilu b'Avram k'siv, because by Avram it's written anuichi afa ve'efa. When Avram was expressing his nothingness, right, we know Avram was supremely humble, and he said about himself, I am dust and ashes. I am dust and ashes. And when Moshe and Aaron were confronted, when the people came to complain about the food, they didn't have enough food, they didn't like the food, so they said, who are we? So that's a greater terminology. Avram Avinu said, I am dust and ashes. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe and Aaron said, who are we? So let's see the explanation. Ki afa ve'efa, Moshe Avram said, I'm dust and ashes. Al kol panim misra adayin mitzius afa. If someone says, I'm dust and ashes, at least there's something you can see. I can see dust. I can see ashes. I can see a pile of dust, pile of sand. You're a pile of sand. That's very, very humble of you. But at least there's something that I can see. There's a pile of sand that I can see. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom, amav anachnu ma. That Moshe Rabbeinu said about himself and Aaron, who are we? What are we? We are what? We're nothing, in other words. Nachnuma, as if to say, we're nothing. We're not even dust and ashes. We're nothing. Absolutely zero. Kiilu ein shumetzias bo'olam klal, as if there's no reality to him at all. Right, so that also portrays, in other words, the humility of Moshe, in terms of the humility of Avram, was at a higher level, where he saw himself as nothingness. Now, to see himself as nothing means to see Hashem as being more, as being all. Right, if a person feels that he exists to a certain degree, so to the degree that he exists, Hashem doesn't exist. Like, the more me there is, the less you there is, because I take up the space, and you take up the rest of the space. So if the more there is of me, the less there is of you. That's what it says in the Gemara, says that an arrogant person pushes away the divine presence. Because he's so full of himself, there's no room for Hashem. There's no room for Hashem. He's full of himself. So even the Avram was a tremendously humble person, but still, there was something there. There was like dust and ashes. Dust and ashes is something. So there was some sort of interruption between Hashem's total existence. Because there's dust and ashes as well. But Moshe Rabbeinu, which was a high level, he said, we are what? We are what? We are nothing. Literally nothing. He just adds here in brackets, Ve'im ki gam es aron kalal itoy. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu includes Aaron with himself, we know that Aaron was not on the level of Moshe. When we speak about the prophecy of Moshe, that's specifically the prophecy of Moshe. There was no prophet like Moshe, not Moshe and Aaron. Aaron also had prophecy, but he wasn't on the same level. So even though when Moshe spoke to the people, he said, what are we? We're nothing. And he was speaking about himself and Aaron. So even though Moshe included Aaron with himself when he spoke about himself, like the Morris quotes, great is what is said about Moshe and Aaron. The fish at Lunas Israel High Salt Shneim. That was because when the Jewish people came complaining, they came complaining to them both. So they came with a complaint against Moshe and Aaron. So when Moshe responded to them, he spoke about us, Moshe and Aaron, he and Aaron. So he spoke to him in plural. But really, the main thing about this tremendous level, the height of this very, very high level, is really only Moshe's level. He spoke of him, and they came to complain. They came to complain about the food. Right? Who's not complaining about food? Right? It's too hot. It's too cold. It's not good. So yeah, you didn't like to complain about food. Yeah, you didn't like food, and they like to complain about food also. So anyway, they came to complain to Moshe and Aaron about food. He said, who are we that you're coming to us? So he included Aaron with himself because they came to both of them. But really, this is something that's exclusively Moshe's level. When Moshe Rabbeinu referred to himself as, what are we? Who are we? Are what? Meaning we are nothing. So that was the level of Moshe. He was just including Aaron with himself because that was the situation. That was the scenario where that incident came up, where that comment was made. But it's exclusive to Moshe's level. And Moshe's level is the ultimate level of prophecy. And therefore, at the ultimate level of prophecy, it's like the prophet himself doesn't exist. He is nothing. Because if Hashem is everything, then I'm nothing. To the degree that Hashem is everything, that therefore, to that degree, I'm nothing. Whereas that was not Avram Avinu's level. Avram Avinu's level was that he still is something. There's still a something called me. Something called me, that's dust and ashes. There's something. That's the dust and ashes. So therefore, that somewhat takes away from Hashem's revelation. Right? Because the more me there is, the less you there is. And there's also midrash as follows in Shmois Rabba. It says, Yitzhak Amal Moshe Ani Godel Mimcho. There's a midrash that goes like this. Yitzhak Avinu says to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a discussion they have, a conversation they have in Shemaim. So Yitzhak says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm greater than you. Shepet Shatati Es Tzavori. I stretched out my neck to be slaughtered. When my father took me to slaughter me, I was willing to stretch out my neck. Re'isis Pnei Hashchina. And at that moment, I saw the divine presence. It says that when Avram Avinu was about to shecht Yitzhak, so the angels were looking from the heavens above and crying. And Yitzhak, could see it. He could see it all. He says, and I saw the divine presence. At the moment that Hashem wanted, my father wanted to shecht me, I saw the divine presence. So that makes me greater than you. That's what Yitzchak said to Moshe. So Moshe said back to him, according to this midrash, Amar lo Moshe, anina salesi yoisim mimcha. So Moshe said, no, no, I'm much higher than you are. She'atar isa pnei shechina, b'kol einecha. You saw the divine presence and your eyes became dim. And that's one of the reasons that it's brought that Yitzchak, when he was an old man, he became blind. So your eyes were dimmed. Why? How come he lost his sight? Because his eyes were dimmed by seeing the divine presence when he was being taken for the slaughter at the Akedah. However, I spoke the divine presence face to face, and my eyes never became dim. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away at 120 years, he was in full health, full vitality, full health. Just his time was up, he's leaving now. But he didn't become sick beforehand, he didn't become weak beforehand. He was in full health, it was his day to die, so he died. So therefore, I spoke to the Divine Presence face to face, and my eyes were never dimmed. And we should understand this. In other words, as follows, since Moshe Rabbeinu is on this high level where he regards himself as being nothing, so if he's nothing, then he can't be hurt. Like Yitzhak, who regarded himself as being a something, so therefore that something could be damaged by this huge divine revelation of seeing the Divine Presence, and that somehow that damaged him. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who regarded himself as being an absolute nothing, so you can't damage nothing. Right? If you swing a stick through the air, you didn't hurt anyone because there's nothing there. So you can't hurt that which is nothing. Someone who's able to nullify himself completely, which was Moshe Rabbeinu's level, therefore would be something that could not be hurt. That's why Moshe said, I could see Hashem and not be hurt, because I was mamish at the level of holding myself as being nothing. Nothing meaning that Hashem is everything and therefore I'm nothing. If you look at it in Sefer Gilgulim, Reb Chaim Vital explains the following teaching, also from a midrash. It says that certain individuals in the Chumash, their names are mentioned doubled. Avram. Right, so this is different references. For instance, when Avram was about to shecht Yitzchak, so the angel called him Avram. So the fact that the name is doubled shows a certain type of endearment. Right, just like a mother calls his child, so she calls him Chaim, right? Chaim. I said the name a few times. So that shows endearment. So there are few individuals that have this term of endearment. So we've got here examples here from the Midrash. The Midrash brings here Avram, Yaakov. Says the Midrash, psik timer. However, the inflection is slightly different. So therefore it's Avram. But the sort of inflection changes, which means that the two Avrams are not exactly the same. There's an inflection change between the two. It's Avram, psik timer, where the chop is a little bit different. So therefore the first Avram is different from the second Avram. Avram with a sort of a break between the two, and therefore the two Avrams are not the same. Or Yaakov is also with some sort of a break between the two, and therefore the two Yaakovs are mentioned, even though the two name is mentioned double, which shows special endearment, special spirituality, but still there's a break between the two names. There's Avram, Yaakov. So that's psik timer. There was a break in terms of the trop between those two names. Moshe, says the Midrash, lo psik timer. When Hashem says Moshe, it's all in the same trop. There was no break at all. So that also is to reveal his greatness, that his outside was like his inside. Now, on the outside, on the inside, he was like the same person. He wasn't like two individuals. You know, we are sometimes, there's who we are on the inside, and there's who we are on the outside. You know, some people are, very fine on the inside, but on the outside, they don't act so well. They don't act so finely. They don't act so refined. So therefore, that's often, the inside of a person is different from the outside. You have some people who act very nicely on the outside, but inside they're all rotten, right? You have to be careful of these people. They act nicely, but they could be confidence tricksters. But by Moshe, there's no interruption between the Moshe, the one Moshe and the other Moshe. That was the level, the purity of Moshe, that on the inside and the outside, 100% the same Moshe. There's no break at all. Shual inen hefsek chatzitza mu'etus, which is this whole idea of being some sort of a break. There's some sort of a barrier, right? If you're on the other side of the wall, so therefore there's a certain type of, if you're speaking to a person from the other side of the wall, so he doesn't really see you, so there's certain things you can tell him that he doesn't know who he's talking to, right? The person talks to you on the phone, so you can't see someone who's talking to you on the phone, so he sounds like a nice guy, he's speaking very nicely, but really if you were to see the guy, you'd run away from him, because he's behind a barrier. The barrier is the telephone, right? You don't really see the person you're speaking to. So the same thing, you're speaking to someone behind a wall, you don't know who it is. It says that the Israelis in the 1948 war, say that when they were protecting their different settlements, so in order to fool the Arabs that they would think there were more guards than there were, they used to change their hats. The guard used to walk by the wall with one hat, and then used to change hats and walk by, and so it would look like it was different guards, So it would look like there were more soldiers than there really were, but he was just changing hats. It's just an impression that they used to make. So the whole thing of the impression, that means that's the barrier. The barrier is that there's something in between. If there's something in between us, then I don't see you clearly. If I'm on the other side of the wall, I don't see you on the side of the wall. I can't see through the wall, so I don't see you clearly. So therefore, but Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is that there's no wall. There are no walls at all. There's no barriers at all. He sees Hashem directly. So that's this high level of Ein Oid Milvada. That's the name Havaya, which is the highest name of all, which was basically the grasp of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, chapter 14, Perek Yud Dalet. V'lesois haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom muvan muchan kol regel nevuah. And for this reason, Moshe Rabbeinu was ready for prophecy at any moment. He didn't need special preparations to receive prophecy. At a moment's notice, he had a direct connection to Hashem anytime he wanted. He was mamish, or he was totally at a direct connection instantly. Right? For instance, when the daughters of Tzlafchat came to him and they asked, "What about us? Are we getting inheritance in Eretz Israel or not? Because there are no brothers, we have only daughters." So he said to them, "Wait a second, and I'll hear from Hashem. Wait a second." They asked him a question. He doesn't know the answer. He says to them, "Wait a second, I'll ask Hashem." So that was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. He needs an answer. He doesn't have an answer. He says to them, "Wait a minute, I'll ask Hashem." And that was his type of prophecy. He says, "You can ask Hashem right on the moment. There's no special preparation." We know other prophets, for instance, we know when Shaul HaMelech, when he wanted prophecy, or other prophets, they used to use music to sort of induce the mood, right? The music can relax a person, and relax the person, puts him in a good mood, etc. Puts him in a happy mood. The prophet used to use, often he used to use, music. Music was something that would get them into the right mind frame, that they could receive some sort of divine inspiration. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need anything. He just mamish spoke directly to Hashem. So this is the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Amru Chazal. So that's also how direct his connection was with Hashem. That Hashem is mamish there all the time. Since it's like Moshe Rabbeinu sees Hashem, everything, the whole world's full of Hashem. So therefore Hashem, the whole world's full of Hashem all the time. The whole world's full of Hashem. The world is constantly full of Hashem. So therefore there's no break in terms of his prophecy. It's available all the time because Hashem is available all the time. If Hashem fills reality all the time, so there's nothing besides Hashem. And therefore Hashem is right here all the time. So I can speak to him. He's right here. I can speak to him right now. I don't even need to dial. I don't have to dial first. I can just speak to him. You don't need a cell phone to speak to Hashem. You just speak to him directly. He's right here. The Kumosha Amu Chazal, the Kenaya Masig Nevuosa Bechol Nakremus, Beza Makom Sheh. Also, he could receive prophecy wherever he was. He didn't have to be in a certain place. He didn't have to be in the temple. He didn't have to be in a special place. Wherever he was, he could receive prophecy. Bashva Gemura, it was totally, all places were equal to him. Because that was the type of grasp that he had of Hashem. Beloy. Shum chiluklal, without any distinctions at all. Kemaim chazal, like our sages taught in the Shemos Rabba, Ubamidbar Rabba, Ubechazisa in the Zohar. So it says there on the pasuk in Shir Hashim Amudav Osa Kesef, Zelashem. This is what they say. V'lama dibe Hakadosh Baruch Hu im Moshe mitoy chasne. It says there, why did Hashem speak to Moshe? This is the Midrash that's quoted. We just mentioned quite different places where it's quoted. The Midrash asks the question, why wasn't it Hashem spoke to Moshe from a bush? Why from a bush? A bush is a very lowly plant. There's nothing very fancy about a bush. It's just, it's like a thorns. It's just like weeds. So how come Hashem spoke to Moshe from a bush? L'lamdecho. So the Midrash says, to teach you, she'ein mokom ponui ba'aretz ponui mi'ashkina. Because there's no place in the world that's free of the divine presence. There's no place that Hashem isn't. He's even in a bush. He's even in the humblest of plants, he's there also. Because he's everywhere. So therefore there is no place. You can't say, no, this is too low for Hashem to be here. Hashem wouldn't speak from a bush. He would only speak from a mountain. He would speak from a great oak tree. No, there's nothing too low for Hashem because Hashem is everywhere. So that's the point, that Hashem spoke to Moshe from a bush, that even from a bush, even though it might be something very, very lowly, even from there Hashem could speak to Moshe because Hashem is everywhere. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem was mamish everywhere. Even from a bush he would speak to him. So that's the Midrash. Adkan l'shonim v'hu kafi b'chinas madregosoi andoir. And this is all according to his very, very awesome level, that Hashem mamish fills the whole of reality, which, as we said, is the name Yudkei Vokfke. V'rak asher bikshu nafshe hareini nois kvoidecho. Now there is only one limitation which is mentioned in the Torah. We know that after the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, Hashem wanted to wipe out the Jewish people and start again from Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, I'm going to kill the whole Jewish people. I'm going to start again from you and your children. So then at that time, Moshe Rabbeinu made a tremendous appeal to Hashem. And he davened for 40 days, 40 nights, without eating, without drinking, without sleeping. And he finally received forgiveness for the whole Jewish people. Hashem finally told him, Slachti kedvarecha, I'm prepared to forgive him. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we have to hang on to the Jewish people, we can't start again, etc., etc. He appealed for the Jewish, he saved the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu saved the Jewish people when Hashem was willing to wipe out the whole Jewish people to start again. So after that whole incident, so he got very, very close to Hashem. very, very close to Hashem. He made this huge appeal for the Jewish people, and it put him on a tremendously high level. Because we know when we ask for other people, we daven for other people, when we work for on behalf of other people, that does elevate us. Right? It's much greater of a person who's working for others than just one who's someone who's davening for himself. Obviously, that's a high level. So when Moshe Rabbeinu reached this tremendously high level, at that time, it was a tremendous closeness to Hashem. Hashem showed him tremendous affection. So he made a special request. He said to Hashem, Harenius Kvodecha, let me see your glory. Right? That's the special, the Mamish there in Parshas Kisiso, special point of connection, special endearments. He said, show me your glory. So that indicated there was something that Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't see. There's some extra level that was just beyond him. And he said to Hashem, show me your glory. So he speaks about that right now. And that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Hareini nas kvodecha, show me your glory. Lamud al mahus zeh inyan ha'onoga. He wanted to get to the essence of the greatness of Hashem. Because in a sense, Moshe Rabbeinu was also a human being. He also had a body. And in a sense, he wasn't totally with Hashem. He wasn't totally with Hashem. Lirois echu yizbor shmoi meloi kol ha'oitz kvodecha. He wanted somehow to see how Hashem's honor filled the entire reality. He wanted to see it from Hashem's point of view. So he wanted to see Hashem's honor fill the whole of reality. Veleis us upon him. There's no place free of him. He wanted to have this absolute vision. Veze loy nitzan loy. And this wasn't granted him. Hashem said to him, Lo yirei adam v'chai. Hashem said, you can't see me and continue to live in this world. Because that's once you see Hashem, once you're looking at the world from Hashem's point of view, from Hashem's eyes, then there's nothing else. So you can't see me and also continue to live in this world. Lo yirei adam, no man can see me and continue to live. Lo yirei adam v'chai. So he's told Moshe Rabbeinu that you can't, because that would be the end of your life. If you saw this absolute vision of me, then you would cease to exist completely. So this was not allowed to him. So Hashem told him, no, this you can't see. No man can see me and continue to live. So the next paragraph, he explains. We're going to have to leave this for next time. That actually what Hashem did finally grant him this wish just before he took him from the world. And that's what we're going to see in the next paragraph.